Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
If you're looking for a crash course in excitement, welcome to Super Sprint for playing your Nintendo.
The white car slingshot into the... Watch out! Someone's blown an oil pan! The yellow fellow's in a world of hurt! He's out of control! The leader's just raised the stakes! He's out of turbo! Oh, what a finish!
Super Sprint, only from Tengen. It's not for Sunday drivers, okay? Available at Farmore and the Electronics Boutique.
Ooh, Electronics Boutique. Did somebody blow an oil pan?
Yeah, man, they blew an oil pan. Look out.
All right.
Good afternoon and welcome to Play Retro. It is Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. This is episode 52. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm one of your hosts here. And I think I broke a Super Sprint steering wheel back in high school once. The arcade guy just shrugged, and I left. Just in time to get back to fifth period math class.
And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I think someone sacrificed a duck on my final lap of Super Off-Road. There it is again. I got to get out of here. I need more nitro. Uh-huh. Oh, hi, sexy bikini ladies. Yeah, I can stay a while. I can stay forever.
Oh, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I see what you did. That's great. Dude, that thing was annoying, the sound that game made. Super annoying.
It's one of those things that's incredibly annoying, super off-road, the final lap horn, which sounds nothing like a horn, but it's also ingrained in my brain, and it will never leave.
Well,
ever.
Good. That's ever. The way it should be after you've offended it, so I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah. You broke a wheel? What a turd.
Yeah, what a turd. I did, actually. So we were, my buddy Mark and I, Mark Larson and I used to go.
Yeah.
For lunch, because there was a mall near school, so we would go to this mall, and our thinking was, well, we'll grab pizza or something, but then we'll play a couple of games, and it always went longer than we meant to, always put more quarters in there than we meant to, so it was like this, and Marble Madness, and about three or four others that were just our go-tos, and we were always late back to school, like by a period or two.
Or two.
Yeah, my grades sucked as a result. It was a bad year. But man, I was so into it. I didn't care. I didn't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
Anyway, I was swinging that thing. I was swinging that, or, you know, because the way the Super Sprint worked, they had a four-player one, and it had four steering wheels attached to it. So you would go around this thing, and literally you'd spin them because that's how the game worked with tight turns. You would spin it, and then spin the other way. And I think I didn't start the breakage, but I think I finished it. And it just fell off, kind of went.
It just rolled right off.
Yeah, I look over at the guy, and he just kind of shook his head, and I left. So
he's like, happens every day.
Every day, I got to fix that damn wheel.
Every effing day, you kids come up in here and get back to fifth period.
Every day. All right, I got a recommendation for people here at the top of the show before we get to our main topic, and that is this. If you like retro games, and you probably do if you're listening to this show, then you need to check out this game, Dave the Diver, which is now available on Steam. It's currently in early access, although it feels finished. I don't know what's actually not done. I guess there's some story they're still working on. But it's this weird game where you're Dave, a middle-aged dude with a goatee, and you dive for stuff, fish, and other bits. But while you're in there, the reason you're getting fish is because you go diving during the day until you run out of oxygen, and then you go back to your sushi restaurant at night, and you load that place up with all this fresh fish you found out of what they call the mysterious blue hole, because this place you're diving changes every time you go in there. AKA, right. You know, it's like procedurally generated, but the way the game conceits it, it's like this magic place where you can find all this weird fish. Anyway, you collect all these fish, you upgrade your equipment, go lower, deeper, get bigger fish, your harpoon becomes stronger, all that kind of stuff. And then you go back to this restaurant, and then you run it like a little mini game restaurant. You open for dinner, and then you run around helping serve stuff, and you got a chef back there chopping up stuff and making sushi, and you got a guy helping him, and I hired two waiters, and then me, and we're just running around, and I'm filling people's weird little Asian teas and giving them sushi, and by the end of it, you get a star rating and a bunch of cash, and then you go do it again. And during all of this, there's some story stuff, but it's kind of chore-core, but it's such a fun loop. I'm completely addicted to it. Cannot wait for people to get their hands on Dave the Diver.
And what's it called again?
Dave the Diver.
Dave the Diver. Yeah. Can we dive it?
Yeah. Yes, we can, says Dave. Anyway, just a little recommendation. It's very, it's a weird mix of 2D and 3D. Some of the environments are still pixelated, but 3D somehow.
Okay.
And some of the fish are like that too. Your character is a little 2D sprite, but super well animated and all that. And just this combination of different effects and stuff combined with the 2D, it's just a really cool thing. And it plays great on Steam Deck. I just want to throw that out there. It's fantastic. Dave the Diver.
I am down with Dave the Diver. He is added to my wish list. And as soon as I get off here, I'm going to try to look at it real
quick. And currently, overwhelmingly positive reviews across the board on this thing. And it deserves it. It's that good. All right. Brian, what did you do this week? You had some fun stuff going on, right?
Well, when I was I did a lot of racing, top-down racing arcade stuff this week, and I realized something really quick. The joystick and my controller are not sufficient for doing these stupid games.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to steer, and it's not the same, man. Like you said, you'd spin the wheel because those machines had spinners, but then they had steering wheels on the attached to them.
Yeah.
And so that's how those games were meant to be played. And so I really ran into a lot of problems. So I said, surely there's a solution here. I can at least get a spinner knob for my Atari Fight Stick that I have over here. And I found something. It's called, I found it first. I went to Micro Center and I saw some GRS spinners. And I'm like, what the hell is a GRS spinner? Apparently, it's a place called Game Room Solutions or something, and they were bought by somebody else, or they merged with somebody. Anyway, they're still making them. So I picked up a spinner and a big, giant metal wheel. If you've never seen those big metal wheels, steering wheels they have, they're just that. They're just metal wheels with, like, some plastic or rubber on the outside of them. They're cold and heavy and just plain, but so much fun to spin. They spin really well. So I got that on the way, and I also ordered something. I've been working on a project called Game Boy Interceptor. Did you see my email?
Oh, yeah, I saw this. This is great. Tell people what this is, because it seems rad.
Okay, there should be a Game Boy Interceptor, I think is the name of the website or something like that. Anyway, this guy about 3 weeks ago came online. He's like, hey, I designed a thing. And I'm like, cool, let me see what you got. So he designed a thing. It's called the Game Boy Interceptor, and it is something that you plug, and I got one right here. I ordered these.
Oh, let me see yours. Hold on.
I ordered these PCBs offline to his specifications, JLC PCB. I ordered them to specification like he said.
Yeah.
And I put all the little chips on there, and it's on the little board, and I've got a little soldering to do later on. But what this thing does is you plug this in between your Game Boy and your cart, and it does this, like it says, it's an interceptor. On a USB-C adapter, which you hook to a computer that's got some software, and it captures your input. So when you make a move on your Game Boy, it emulates that onto the software, which is emulating the game, and that input goes into there. So you can play online and stream the game through your emulation on your PC, but you're controlling it using your Game Boy Interceptor. So this guy's super wicked smart.
Not only but, that, the thing looks like one-to-one, man. It looks great.
It is. It looks fantastic. So the guy is playing The Legend of Zelda right now, Link's Awakening. So I've, like I said, ordered some of these. But the thing is, when you order something like this, since it's is custom ordered essentially, they're like, if you order two, it's like $80. If you order 10, it's like $180. So they're only like $18 a piece at that point in time. So that's what I did. I ordered that many. So as soon as I get everything figured out on this stuff, we may be giving a few of these away on stream. Why not? Because it was going to be like almost $40. He's 3D printing right now. He's 3D printing the little case that goes.
So is it you have to do? You have to 3D print them, or do you get them printed? Okay. You're going to do
I could. He has a place where you can just have them. There's plenty of 3D places online where you can have them printed already.
Right.
And you had, you know, a choice too. And I ordered these from the JLC PCB. When I ordered it from, you can choose just to order the components and you can solder all the stuff yourself, or you can give them design specifications and they'll put all that stuff right there on it for you.
That's so amazing.
I went the easy route.
That's really cool.
I think it's way cool, and I can't wait to give it a try.
Do you think Nintendo's weird about this stuff at all? Do you think they get freaky?
I was worried they might be, so I saw it. Somebody sent me a link. I think it might have been by Andreas. Remember Andreas?
Yeah.
I think he might have sent me the link like 16 hours after the guy posted the video.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that looks cool. I ought to try that sometime. I'm like, wait a minute. Nintendo is extremely litigious. They're going to take all this crap down. So I like got on the internet immediately and ordered all the stuff. I wasn't waiting for Nintendo to make their move. No, sirree.
Well, don't sit around waiting for them. They ain't going to do it.
No.
I think this is cool, and I can't wait to see what you come up with it from it. I think that's rad. I've heard of other stuff for like, not Game Boys, but other devices. Like, I can't remember what it was for. Maybe it was a GBA or something. Because Nintendo, famously, their devices are just hard as shit to, like, you know,
show reverse off. Engineer and
And if it didn't have an HDMI point or HDMI port, then you kind of like can't use traditional things like what are they called, the capture devices and stuff. So there's no real good solutions. And it sounded like this guy. Smart enough to figure this shite out, and he did it.
Yeah. Like I said, it's really what all it really is doing is just intercepting the data in the game coming through and sending that to your emulation software so that the emulation software can, you know, synchronize with it and then capturing the input as it comes back through. So it's smart. It's smart because it's literally dumping the ROM as well into the emulation. So
that's cool. That's awesome. So you can do ROM dumps this way as well.
I don't know if you can do ROM dumps or not, but potentially you probably could.
I'll bet you could. Why not? It's literally intercepting the code. Why wouldn't it do it?
Yep.
That's cool. I hope Nintendo doesn't get weird.
Like I said, that's the reason why I jumped on it. And I was like, I could just do two. And I was like, it's only like $80 for two. And that's all I really need, just me and maybe a buddy. And I was like, wait a minute. Nintendo's going to crack down on this crap. I better get it now.
Yep. Well, go to there.auto.b. is where you're looking.
Right.
It's a .b domain. And there's a whole history of the whole damn thing.
Yeah. All it's amazing. This the guy is he just lays everything out. He even got like on his YouTube video, I believe, he even has it where you can click on links and it'll add stuff to your cart, and he steps you all the way through the cart. It's very complicated. If you've ever done any PCB design online, it can get complicated.
It can get weird, man.
The specification can get weird
real quick.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get weird on top-down single-screen arcade games that are racing games. How about that, guys?
Shall we play a game?
All righty. Let's take a look
wait,
here.
Did you adjust for all my my add-ons to the filters of what we're reviewing this week?
Oh yeah. No. Look, we have some issues like. When you're talking just straight top-down single screen, it turns out people get confused because they think you mean a lot of third-person stuff. They think you mean all sorts of things. And what we're talking about, like Super Sprint, which we showed it in our little intro video here, right here. This is a screenshot of some gameplay in Super Sprint. That's a locked screen, doesn't go anywhere, doesn't move with the players. You are literally driving around them like a little diorama sort of thing.
Yeah, there is no scrolling.
No.
And it is either top down or isometric, but you know, for the most part, it's not like behind the car or anything like that.
No. So, you're thinking, yeah. You know, if you're thinking like Ridge Racer, this is not that.
Right. This is not that.
This is something much different. And what I'm showing on screen right now is a little bit of this. Oh, that sound. Do you hear that?
Oh. Are you playing some Atari?
That'll give you a brown note. Okay, so that sound right there is very old. This is for Sprint 2 from 1976.
Yeah.
I was five years old, Brian. How old were you?
76. I would have been four. Was I four? Is that right?
You'd have been four. You're a couple years behind me. Yeah. So we were just little wee children when this would have happened. So 78 was in the arcade. I guess it's a little confusing, though. Sprint 1 and Sprint 2... they're almost indistinguishable
right.
when I look at them. Most games you have like some big jump and some reason why there's a sequel. Nah, not these, man. These are...
But you know this is not a sequel. I didn't know this until like today
right.
when I was reading something.
I was today years old when I learned this today.
Yeah, I was today years old when I learned that Sprint 2 came first in 1976, and then Sprint 1 came later. The designation of the 2 and 1 was not... which in the series it was how many players. So Sprint 2, which came first, had two players. And then Sprint 1 later in 78 only had a single player.
Right. And then there was Weird. Two, then there was four, and then there was eight. And you might say, did they just skip a bunch of freaking number? Like, what is this, like Final Fantasy coming to America and they F up the numbers or something? No.
Right.
This was, we didn't think of it in the 70s. Nobody knew what games were, let alone sequels, right?
Yeah.
So this was their way of saying how many people could play it. So literally right. Sprint 2 was two people and four yeah. was four people. Eight was eight people. It wasn't sequels per se.
It wasn't sequels. I got so confused with that. And eight, Scott, oh my God, eight people around a weird, did you get a, did you find like an image of it? Because it was,
yeah,
it was kind of
awesome.
Hard to find.
Yeah.
But there was, there's eight steering wheels, people.
Yeah.
There's like, it looks like it's a cocktail type, but you're standing at it. And I think there's like, there's literally two on each, there's two on each side of a cocktail.
Closest I could get to is this one with two, but imagine this, but with four crammed in there, and they curve a little bit in the front on the four one. I can't find the picture
right.
before. But these are wild. I would kill to have this this machine. Even just the two-wheel machine, I would love to have that.
The two-wheel machine is cool. So that's Sprint 2, the one that came out first. It's got one of those spinners. So if you've ever seen a spinner for an arcade game, like especially for Pong, and it's just two little knobs, and you turn them back and forth, and you know they're free spinning. They just, you know, there's no friction or anything. You spin them really, mm-hmm. really, really fast. All they did was they took a steering wheel and put that on the little spinner knob,
yep.
And they said this is how we're going to interface with this thing.
It worked great. It made no sense, like, because you could literally go around a corner. The way you would turn is not just, oh, I better turn a little. It was like spin your wheel, and your car would kind of and curve around the thing. But the fun was in the spinning, and I don't know how they ever tuned that to be not too much or not too little, you know?
It's wild because I think that's what I was thinking too, because I think it's the acceleration. I think they must have already figured that out, because if you spin it really fast, it doesn't necessarily go one to one. It just keeps reading that you're spinning. And as long as it's going in that direction, it'll keep spinning in that direction that you're spinning in.
Yeah. And then you grab it to stop it. You just grab it and it goes, and then you're no longer turning, basically, is how that works. So
I posted a link. If you look at the very bottom, there's a YouTube video of the video of Sprint 8 at the arcade. I don't know if you see that one.
Oh, I missed it. Let's see this. I didn't see this. Let's take a look.
But it's fun because I watched a little bit of that, and I noticed that people were trying to, more modern people were trying to steer it
like it
was a resistance wheel.
Dude.
Look at that.
Cocktail
stand-ups, got your acceleration. There's two wheels on each side of the square. It's set deep into a cocktail table. It's just wild looking. And that one's got the color screen, which I think the ROM supported later on, but it wasn't by default. It was just black and white.
So this is a fully functional, you know, original. Do you know this video? I mean, this is 12 years ago, so I don't know if it's still
around. This is 12. This is 12 years ago, but this was a fully functional arc. This was a machine in an arcade somewhere.
Damn. Right. I remember this thing. I remember seeing this in an arcade and being blown away by it. And this was around the time my dad got into the arcade business. This was definitely on the table as in terms of one that we would have in an arcade. They were really expensive.
They'd have to be. They're outrageously large, too.
He was paying one. He was, at the time, I think you were paying up five grand or up on one of these. Maybe more.
Yeah,
they were expensive.
But look at how many token slots, how many quarter slots is that, man? That's eight quarter slots. You're taking in $2 if you can get a whole crowd in there. That's $2.
Yeah, or you do 50. I guess they weren't doing 50 cents back then, but you could change it.
Yeah, you see that old guy there. If we're watching the video, we'll post this somewhere where everybody can see it. But the older guys are kind of like spinning it, and some of the other people are like trying to actually steer it like you would with a resistance type force feedback steering wheel like you have today. Plus, this also had straight drive, so you had to shift gears. You had four gears you could shift into, which by the time I really started playing race games, I would always choose to not do that because I was just a kid and I didn't know how to drive no stick.
Right. No, I never did stick in the arcade unless I had to.
Right.
It's still to this day. Although with a real car, I love driving stick. Love it.
Yeah.
I don't trust it with video games for some reason. I don't know why.
Whoever is driving right now in the video that you're showing, I can almost guarantee you they are not using a steering wheel because they're doing exactly what I do, which is run into everything, which is what happens when you use like an analog stick or a D-pad. Mm-hmm. You just can't make those fine adjustments that a spinner knob can.
Well, good news, dude, because I know of a game that came along not long after this. Well, a little bit after this. I shouldn't say not long. It definitely came out later. While I was in high school, this thing ate my quarters like it was on fire. It's the very one I talked about at the top of the show. Here's how that sounded.
Drop that coin.
I know, right? That Atari sound system is so cool. Okay, now notice this in your ear. The driving's only in your left ear. But listen to this.
Yeah.
All ears. Like, sorry to those at home who are feeling the lefty business going on there, but that's, for some reason, this game left-channeled all the car audio.
Yeah.
And then the slipping sound and the crash into walls sound and the hitting of oil and all that, that's all in the right ear, actually both ears. Right. But for whatever reason, left ear only for all the driving, which is funky.
It messed with me too, because I thought it was something wrong with my setup at first. And I was like, wait a minute, because I had my headphones on.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, this is some audio weirdness.
And these sounds are burned into my soul right here. Which is the coin sound.
Got the coin.
And I know a lot of Atari games actually use that sound. But man,
love it.
I associate it with this game, and that takes me back to 86 and sets me down right there in front of that monitor.
Yeah.
Do you have the thing
where you pick up the wrench? Because I love the wrench sound when you pick up the wrench for repairs. I think
that's this one right here, right?
Yes.
Dude, yeah, that's
a wild sound.
That's just like, I don't know what to say. It's like nostalgia boiled down into a noise. Oh, so good.
I don't know what it is supposed to even mean, but I love either. It just climbed up your spine and said, "How's it going? You want to get another wrench? You know you do."
Yep. And this game was all about flipping that wheel as hard as you could. Like I said, I broke one. Well, I think I did. And it was awesome. This is an amazing game. Gosh, what do I even say about it?
Well, there's some things that I never knew. I remember playing this, but I don't remember the tornado, but there was always a tornado floating around. And if you got hit the tornado, you'd spin out. That was one of the big, challenges in these sprint games is the spin out.
Yeah.
In the first are the sprint two and the whatever versions they are. You would hit an oil slick and you would spin, or if another car ran into you, you would spin. But with the CPU, but then it continues on a super sprint and champion sprint, which I never played, but it's supposed to be just
more.
Like
it's
sprint.
More stuff. It's a little more intense, faster. Me and my buddy Mark didn't. I don't. My memory is we didn't like the newer stuff. The sequels. I think they were. I felt like they were just artificially pumped up on speed, which just made them harder. Which just meant more quarters got eaten. So it felt like a little bit of a cheap trick, but I absolutely loved it. We're looking right now. There's a photo up of the three-wheeled version, and they made a couple of versions of this cabinet. One was like this, where it was stand up, and you had the screen sort of, you know, facing you. There was also one a little bit more like the 70s one, where it was three players still, maybe even four, I don't remember, but the screen was down. Like, it's right. not sit down, but you'd look down on it when you right, stood over right. it. And, man, the time I spent playing that shit.
Yeah, I usually saw the three players of most of the games we saw this past week, which would be the three steering wheels. You stand next to somebody, and it was usually just like that. These are one of the games that were usually just hop in, you play, you don't talk to anybody because you got to be paying such close attention to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I had seen a race game where you upgraded, and it may be the first time, but it was the first time I remember seeing where you upgraded your car in between. So you would pick up cash. While you're racing the tracks.
Yeah, there'd just be and cash then, laying on the ground, by the way.
That's yeah, there's cash laying on the ground, which totally makes sense. It's a sprint race. That's what you see. Real sprint races are like that. You knock somebody and their wallet falls out, and you just run by and pick it up.
Yeah.
And golden wrenches, you find those too. I upgrading your equipment in your car, it felt progressive.
It
felt like you could progress literally.
That's there weren't a lot of games that were doing that yet. This was new in that regard. Right. And I also just, there's nothing quite like the feeling of spinning that wheel to make a turn. You can't replicate it on a gamepad. You just can't do it.
Dope.
It's playable. Like, I played this today and it was fine.
Yeah.
But it's not what I want. What I want is that wheel spin, which makes sense that you, because you're Brian Dunaway, and you, of course, go run out and buy a wheel. That's what you do.
Duh.
Yeah. I sit here.
It was only $80 for the nice little spinner knob and the steering wheel. I mean,
was that
how could I resist? Yeah. Well, I kind of debated about it first. I was like, well, first of all these games this week, really hard to get a hold of. The ROM sets and stuff, I was having trouble because usually I use the FB Neo built into the RetroArch, which it's got its own standalone too, but I had a lot of trouble finding the ROM sets that contained any of these games. Mm-hmm. I played Sprint 1 and 2 on my Mr. FPGA. I played Super Sprint. I think I played it. I think I had to get a ROM. I think I had a MAME current ROM for that one. I located on archive.org, but it wasn't easy. And I also found a couple other ones that were like MAME 2003 Midway. MAME. So it was tough time this week finding those ports. And I wonder if it's not because a lot of people are just like, if you don't have the steering wheel, what's the point of really emulating this? And it's just not top of anybody's list to port over, I guess, or rip the ROM and have it running proper and everything else. So
yeah,
I really liked it. I really liked the Super Sprint. I only played just a little bit. The game we're going to talk about next is the one I played the crap out of.
Yeah, that one is a lot for a lot of people. That's true. But Super Sprint, if I could, here's what I'd do. I would get a wall size. I don't know how big it'd be. Still do 4x3, whatever the ratio was, but do a giant screen of this, but still the 2D Super Sprint, right? And then a couple of little pedestals that you stand up to with wheels and sticks on.
Yes.
Just set that up for me and whoever wants to play. If I would, look. Rich people, you're all boring as shit. You go to parties and you buy 30 cars. Who gives a poop? Do stuff like this. This is what you want to be doing with your time. That's what I would do.
I want the whole wall just full of Super Sprint.
Damn
and like 30 steering wheels for us to all just stand around. And I love this one. This was 1986. And of course, we all know Atari has great art. And the opening screen for this game is beautiful if you've never seen it. So if nothing else, go look that up because it's just a beautiful pixel art of a car, a sprint car.
It's one of my favorite eras for Atari in the arcades. The home stuff I could give less poops about at that point, but the arcade stuff, just great sound, amazing graphics for its time. I love little bitty cars on a little bitty track.
Because that's what I was trying to figure out, what was attracting me to these games. And it really is. It's a translation of what a lot of us do. I got our little mini little Hot Wheels cars and we like to run them around and, on the floor. And that's kind of the position you have. You're top down. You're in God mode with these little cars and you're driving around and racing them. And this is just a continuation of that, right?
I miss it. Like when a new game does this, I get excited and I buy it because...
Right.
I think it's a cool, it's like Diablo versus racing. It's like Diablo versus like Skyrim. I understand the value of being first person and all this immersion and this whole new perspective, but there's something special about pull that camera up and look down and see more stuff and feel like you are running a toy almost.
Yeah.
I miss that.
There's a couple of games in VR that I've discovered that I like really like those experiences because it's cool to be like to immerse yourself into a first person kind of position in VR, but it's also a lot of fun, you know, kind of being in a god mode where you're kind of like picking up little characters and moving stuff around. That's why I like that Demio game
is so much fun that way. It feels like you're picking up pieces and, you know, in a little miniature space and all of that. Moss is also like that, says the chat, and the Wraith is correct. Anyway, it's all good, but this is where people really spent their money, and you probably don't know the full title, everybody. You think you do, but you put a quarter in, it went like this. Oh, maybe that was Sprint, but this is what happened.
It's probably safe.
Ladies. This is Super Off-Road was what people would know it by, but you probably didn't notice or read that on the side of the thing, it's Ivan Iron Man Stewart's Super Off-Road.
Nobody cared about that I just called it Super Off-Road. I never even knew it was called Ivan Iron Man Stewart. And I know if you're a big fan truck rally racing of that era, you probably are like, is this the Iron Man? It's like, okay, whatever, settle down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, settle down. I know. Well, look, I'm with you in that I really like this game, and I really love off-road rally type stuff to this day. I will buy those kinds of games. Oh, this guy knows about the cheat through the mountain there. That's great.
He really does.
Yeah, there's a real cheat in that board. Anyway, it is just an evolution of this. It's set in a lot of dirt with a bunch of jumps, very, you know, like stadium stuff. And your trucks rather, felt floppy and skiddy. And kind of had a weird physics to everything that's not super realistic, but very fun and intense. And this is top level business when it comes down to top down racer stuff. I really, really like it a lot.
It really changed the game because instead of what we had seen up until this point was all these cars on these flat tracks. So it was just go in circles. But here we had to actually look out for, you know, how the terrain bumps the car and how we have to adjust to it. So you're, instead of spinning the wheel, you're doing a lot of micro adjustments that forced you into it.
Yeah, and lots of cheater paths if you know them. You rip right through these cheater paths and you end up winning the game. Although the AI kind of cheated in this game. It always pissed me off a little bit. Didn't love it. Right now, he is totally stuck. This is a bad day for Red Car. Oh, boy. Look at
now, which AI driver was giving you the most problems? Because that blue car. So this is a three. It was only maxed out at the arcade. You could only play a maximum of three players, even though there were four trucks. That fourth truck was actually supposed to be driven by Iron Man Ivan Stewart himself. That white truck, or
whoever kind of that dude is, by the way, I've never even heard of him until this game. So
yeah, he's a real truck race.
Somebody somewhere is gonna be like, Scott, that's sacred ground. He's the best there ever was. I just don't know. I don't know.
I did a little deeper dive into this game, and the developer was working on this as a buggy race game, and happened to run across Ivan Iron Man Stewart, I think at a restaurant, and they got discussing things. And next thing you know, they make a little contract deal and everything. But I'm with you. I don't know. I didn't finish digging deep into the story, but I don't really remember seeing much about Ivan Iron Man Stewart. So I don't know if they kind of like moved away from that a little bit as they move forward to try to keep the name or whatnot. I'm not sure if there was like a limited license or something maybe he had what the agreement was, but definitely I don't remember much at all about that.
I don't either. That's a world I'm not familiar with, but I respect. I like the sport a lot, and I really like off-road video games more than I like street racing. Because the road is the boss, and I love feeling like I don't have really great control. I feel like I kind of have to wing some of my control to beat the game. And this game had that for the first time for me. I never felt a game quite like it, and I got hooked on it. But same thing with those steering wheels, whipping them around, grabbing them to stop them when you want to stop, and then you got another turn coming up, spinning them again. It was great. Great feeling.
No shifting, because who has time for shifting in these games? So we're not doing sprint shifting. We're doing acceleration and taking your foot off the pedal and steering. And this was John Morgan's second game. That you may not be able to find much about this game at all. He did a game in '87 called Redline Racer, which was nothing but a super sprint clone. Yeah. And it was like the beginnings of what this would be. But they took it to the next level. They started, they got, you know, nitrous involved, and, you know, a lot more pickups, a lot more things to adjust, springs, you know, your shocks and things really affect how your truck handles. All those physics really were tweaked just a little bit. As you finish race, you finish first, you would win so much money, and you could continue forward and you upgrade your truck and you would keep progressing and playing through the tracks, which I think there's four tracks or how many, I forget how many tracks they are. Usually the first four tracks, all I know.
I think it's four. They may have added some later on other boards or something.
They definitely did. There was a track pack later on that added, yeah, even more tracks. By the way, I'm no good at figure eight tracks. That one that I think is like the third or fourth map.
Yeah.
I always, if it's got a center, if it's got a centerpiece in that eight, I am, and the cars are crossing over any type of crossroad section, I'm always going to screw up and I'm always going to lose. It makes me so frustrated.
Yeah. Not only that though, that game didn't have this, well, they didn't have OSHA gates everywhere the way that Super Sprint right. did. This thing had big open totally holes.
Run you over.
Yeah, you go flying off into the other part of the track you're not supposed to be in. You're just hosed. You got to go find your way right. back. Drove me crazy a little bit, actually. But a lot of fun, a lot of freedom. Very cool game.
So some of the other drivers, by the way, if you could play single player, which mm-hmm. was not as much fun. It was still fun.
It's all right.
But if you played Iron, Ivan Stewart was always racing against you. He was always AI. But you also had some people I don't know. Maybe these names mean something to you. But the red truck, if you weren't driving it, it was driven by Madman Sam Powell.
Oh, Lord.
The yellow truck mm-hmm. is driven by Hurricane Earl Stratton. And the blue truck
yeah.
is driven by Jammin' John Morgan, the developer of the game. So,
Jammin' John Morgan is just like pounding beers. Oh, wait, that's not John Morgan.
Yeah.
Well, who's Captain Morgan? Isn't he John Morgan?
That's right. That sounds, is he? I can't remember. John, that remember. Sounds right. I
Captain
can't remember.
Morgan, John Morgan. Yeah. Chat will have to tell us.
Anyway, I didn't dig into any ports on this game.
I did. Dude, Genesis was like, hey, what if we had bikini ladies like the arcade? And Nintendo's like, what if we don't?
What if we treat women with respect?
Yeah.
I loved it. What Nintendo don't.
Don't.
Yeah.
Genesis.
This is the only one that I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the only one that I did get into the ports. The rest of them I did not get into the ports. But this one... It is off-road's almost always fun on every one of the ports I saw, except for the Game Boy. That was a little bit tedious because it's not the fixed screen like we had talked about.
Yeah.
It actually scrolls and it's very slow and laggy. But man, the Genesis version. Genesis, we've talked about it before. Genesis is really good at anything that needs quick and fast sprite animations, and that's what we needed here. For the Super Off-Road.
You know, it's funny. The console did kind of have, quote-unquote, blast processing. They just weren't honest about what it's called or how it worked.
Yeah, what it actually was.
Yeah, because
right?
it was a thing. It was a rendering technique or technology or whatever. Their chip did it better than Nintendo's did, but it was too technical to tell people in advertising. So they just said, call it blast processing and off
it's we go. It's blast freaking process. But... As always, the Super NES won out with the audio. They always did.
Yeah, they always did.
But the Genesis had a little better color palette, in my opinion. And they did have the spirit, which was... It's funny because the arcade version was like almost somewhere in the neutral zone of being, you know, sexy bikini ladies. And Nintendo was very conservative. Mm-hmm. And then Genesis was like, yeah, arcade... But what if these ladies were really stacked, you know?
Yep. No, you're right. It's funny how they, the Genesis is, I don't know, that was their thing, right? It's like, it's my little brother's console on the NES or anything Nintendo. I'm playing on the cool one where the boobs are bigger, you know?
Where their boobs are bigger.
Bigger boobs.
Oh, man, but... I loved collecting more nitrous in the arcade game. You started out with 10 nitros. One of the things I did not like about some of these ports, since you were using a console instead of pumping quarters in, which, by the way, you pump quarters into the Super Off-Road at the arcade, you would get some nitro and some money to spend.
Yeah. It was pay at to home, win. It was pay to win, yeah, dude.
It's pay to win. At home, you would have no nitros. You'd have to collect them as you started. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. I like to be able to blow.
Because they're not trying to get your quarters. You already paid them your $49.
Yeah, you already paid them $40. Let's make it hard.
That's right. I wouldn't mind playing that game right now. That's the one I spent the least amount of time with. Again, the lack of steering wheel really made these a little hard.
They did. You had to play these with a, you know, just a regular old, if you're on the NES, which had a version.
That game's okay D-pad. With it. That one's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I think the one that was closest to arcade perfect was maybe the Amiga 500, which I peaked a little bit. Mm-hmm. All of them had different tracks as far as audio tracks go. They also had different tracks sometimes as racing goes.
Yep.
But I realized what I was saying when I said it. But the Amiga 500 seemed like I played this for a couple of minutes, and that one seemed to be the most genuine, almost arcade perfect experience. Yeah. But if you want to play this today, then you might be better off emulating the PS2 Midway Arcade Treasure 3, I believe, which has several race games on it, including the Super Off-Road. It is arcade perfect.
How's the control, though? You just analog stick it and...
Analog stick, okay. Which is a little bit better than a D-pad, but yeah, not by much.
A little bit.
And there's a steering wheel available for the PS2, so I guess you probably could do that, too. I don't know if it interfaces
or not. It doesn't spin, though, is my only problem with it. I'll bet it works, but it doesn't do the whole...
Whoo! It's not a spinner knob, right? No. I wonder if they ever made a PS2 spinner knob.
I doubt it. They were all making locked ones. They do them like real cars, I think, in that era.
Right.
I mean, I could be wrong, but it feels like... That was
right. I see something. I don't know. We'll find out. Disc not spinning. That's something totally different, people.
Disc not spinning. Don't spin your disc. All right. Then they got all Mad Max on me. And when you put a quarter in this machine, you got all kinds of stuff. Actually, so this game is called Badlands. Is this the one? Or am I on the wrong one?
Yes, it is Badlands. Right. Never heard of it until this past week. And oh my God.
I have some memory of this, some limited memory. But it's basically Mad Max Sprint, basically, right?
It's a re-theme of Super Sprint. It's just Super Sprint, but in a post-apocalyptic world with Mad Max-style stuff with upgrades that include missiles, because now you can have some real combat. You don't have to run the guy off the road. You can blow him up.
Yep. Yeah, but it was the same game, really. It was just more like, hey, how about that plus these things, which I am not going to complain about. I like this kind of shit. And I remember seeing one of these in an arcade, but I never played it.
This was after Super Off-Road, which was just more nostalgia. Just playing this for the first time, it was so satisfying blowing up other cars. If you didn't know this, and I think it did in Super Sprint 2. You'd have damage for your cars. And if you blew up, run into the walls enough times, which I did, you would get a helicopter to come pick you up.
Yeah.
As you do. Yeah, they come pick you up. Sure. And so same here, but when you blow people up, a helicopter comes and picks them up.
Yeah.
But man, something about the setting, all these isometric top-down dystopian looking, you know, you got lava running on one side. This hit all of the buttons of the stuff that I like. There's gates that they had in Sprint. I don't know if you remember, Super Sprint had those gates sometimes where you had like a little shortcut gate.
Yep.
And you had to time it just right because it only opens for so long.
Yeah.
In this case, it has
two of them, a shortcut gate and a spike gate. And if the spikes go up, you're dead.
Yes.
If you hit the gate, or if you hit it too soon, you'll get hurt. If you go through the red gate, you'll be okay if you hit it because it just barriers you, but it slows you down. I mean, it's really just Sprint with a few of those. It's
Super Sprint with some, but I want the pixel art is, oh my God, because Super Sprint, it's pretty basic.
Yeah.
I mean, the tracks are pretty basic. There's not much to look at. It's, you know, it's just some square little pixel cars racing around. This one has like flames coming out of the back of your vehicles as you're taking off. And, you know, there's right now they're in some kind of shanty town where, you know, people are living in tents.
Mm-hmm.
This takes the next level for me.
I like it too. Yeah. They never made a console version of this, like Genesis or something, right? That never happened.
I don't believe so. But I do believe this one just came so late. It was just overlooked.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't see it, including myself. And I really hate that I missed it because it is super freaking fun.
Skits in the chat reminds us that the 360 and PS3 both had a Midway collection that, in the 360's case or in Xbox's case, is still playable on your newer hardware. So.
Oh, that's true. I did say this to PS2, but you're right. If you go to, I always mean to give a shout out to this place. It's called pricecharting.com. So if you're trying to buy retro games that are real stuff, you can go to pricecharting.com. If you go there, the Midway Treasure, they do have one for the GameCube, the Midway Treasure, Arcade Treasure 3. They got it for the GameCube. They got it for the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox. The Xbox being the cheapest if you want that, just want to get it loose.
Yeah.
Want to get it loose, Scott?
You want to get loose? I want to get loose all the time.
Eight bucks, or you can get it complete in box for like 13.
Oh, that's not bad. It's not bad.
But yeah, but I think it's a really good deal for the PlayStation 2, and the way it's set up, it just looks really good for the PlayStation 2. I did just show my favoritism, didn't I?
You did a little bit. PS2 is a cool console.
I did. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Nothing wrong with the PS2. It's a great console.
Right.
Highest selling console in the history of the medium. Still.
Right.
No one sold more than PS2s, including Sony's own products. They just they had a real banger with the PS2.
Yeah, they did. It worked.
Although maybe the DS beat it, but that's a handheld. Maybe it's a different category. I don't know. I can't remember.
Right.
Anyway, moving on. Let's talk now about another guy's name I never heard of, but I had heard of the game. Danny Sullivan's Indie Heat. Which it's just when he's a little horny for Indiana Jones, and they call it Indie Heat. Yeah. Anyway,
and Jones is like, no time for love, Danny Sullivan.
Danny Sullivan,
no time for love.
Here's some sound from that.
Prepare to race.
Prepare to race. Listen to this part.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, only the champion gets a bikini lady. This one, by the way.
Oh, not only one, the two, winner gets three. A bikini lady. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Only the number one person gets the bikini lady.
Oh, here's that. Here's some racing sound here. Wait, I didn't hear it. Beep, beep. I think he said beep, beep. They do a lot of little dumb word things in it. But this is about the time where they're starting to figure out how to put voice modulation in your chips. And so this game featured a little bit of that. Nothing too crazy.
This is a continuation from the same developers who gave us the Super Off-Road. It's pretty.
It's pretty okay. I don't like it because I shouldn't say I don't like it. Of these, it's not my favorite for just one simple reason, which is they didn't really do anything to make it to stand out from Sprint, from Super Sprint.
Right.
I think the tracks are meant to look a little bit more like the camera's lowered. It's a little bit more like truth isometric. It has a pit system. Yeah. The pit system's okay. It's a little annoying. I always find pit systems annoying because you got to wait for your car to get fixed. But if you don't use it, your car gets really slow and shitty. It's just,
I didn't like the pit system until I discovered the destructive part of the pit system. Mm. I was racing and I didn't notice, but I had to pit and the yellow car was coming out and I bumped into the yellow car and he ran over one of his pit crew and there was a yellow blob Ew. Spot on the ground,
like little leftover guts from the guy.
Yeah, leftover guts. And at that point in time, I tried to do it every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I also liked it when A wins. Listen to this. Hold on. Yeah. I got to play this. Or when you win. Let's see. And the winner is...
A.
All right. What I love about that is because they have this sped up, and the winner is... And then A. It's whatever letters you put in.
Yeah, it would read your initials that you keyed in. A lot of these that started with Super Off-Road, I think. They had you put in your initials and your birth date for some weird reason. I'm like, no, thanks. Yep. I don't feel comfortable sharing that with you, Ivan.
Yeah.
But you're right. The tracks are a little more basic. They're flat. Well, they're oval, and they have a little bit of a raise on in some parts.
Yeah, like this one's just a simple oval, but they have others that are a little bit more, super sprinty. Yeah.
But you're right about the lower angle, which gets kind of difficult in some of these because you do go underneath bridges and different things, and sometimes you can't even see your car, and that breaks it a little bit.
A little bit. I can see what they were trying for, and I kind of respect it, but it didn't quite.
More laps, I think, too. I think you take like most of these tracks take like 6 or 8 laps, I believe, as opposed to the 4 laps you would see in something like Super Off-Road or and then Sprint.
Well, they still haven't beat out the king of voice acting in old video games. So until they do this, until they're that good, or even this good, forget it.
Did you capture the audio for the on the?
No, I didn't do it, but I bet I could see some here. Hold on, let's see.
If you've never heard the wah, you always think something's going wrong at first. Like,
is that it? That right there.
No. Oh, when you're doing your final lap, when you get the final lap flag,
yeah,
on the Stewart super off road.
Let's see. Oh, is it super off road? Not this Danny Sullivan.
Yeah,
business.
That's right. No, not that. No, super off road.
No,
let me see if I can find it.
I can't find it. Is it? Final it's lap. Not actually a duck, Warren. Is it? What is it?
I don't know. It sounds like it to me, but it cracks me up every time.
You know what they tell you? They say if it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. Is that what they say?
That's exactly what they say. Yeah. I'm going to find the stupid WAV file. I'm going to send it to you.
All right, you do that. Yeah. While you do that, I'm going to mention a couple others that just deserve a mention. You mentioned Redline Racers, Super Sprint clone, but it was okay. And the off-road guy made it, so he had work to do. Bump and Jump, which is not single screen, but tons of fun. I recommend it.
Yeah.
And a lot of you did as well, so you wanted us to mention it. Demolition Derby, 1984, not a racer, but also a lot of recommendations. Mm-hmm. Hot Rod, also an arcade game, not single screen. This was a Sega game. And then the one that got the most recommendations from my angle, like the most people talking to me, was RC Pro-Am, 1988 for the NES. This is not a single screen game either, but a lot of people recommend it. It was made by Rare Software, who rarely made anything bad, right up until they were sold. they did real good. So anyway, RC Pro-Am, worth playing now. Like today, good game still. Very good. I wish they would maybe remaster one like that or something. They probably won't. Then there was a lot of 8-bit and 16-bit console and computer ports. These were not arcade perfect, like you mentioned, but they got there here and there. They did okay. The one that you're probably thinking to yourself, Scott, why have you guys not mentioned Micro Machines, any of the Micro Machines?
Right.
And there's a reason. We're doing a whole episode about them. Okay.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow or not next week, but soon, sometime.
Yeah.
We're talking.
Can't wait.
Because I love those games. Oh my gosh, I love them.
So much.
Especially the Super Nintendo. Jeez, what am I? 12?
Nintendo. We don't have an N in our name. It's Nintendo.
That and the PlayStation game I played to death. And I want to talk more about them. Micro Machines are awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. That's your look at these things. Go to your arcade, get in, and drive.
That unless you're crazy like me, that's going to be your best chance for a good experience in emulating these things is going to an arcade somewhere that still has one of these up. If you find like one of those all day arcades where you pay one price and go in and you play a bunch of you play some new stuff and a lot of old stuff, you might be get lucky and find that out there.
Yeah, we got a bunch of them here. Locally, they're called Nickelcades, and you literally play with real nickels. But you pay a cover fee. It's like $250 or something. It's cheap. And then you go in there and then you go just plunk as many of the, and they give you a ton of nickels and you just go spend them. And I want to say the one in Midvale, for those who are locals, the one in Midvale near the Fashion Place Mall, I'm pretty sure that one has a Super Sprint with the wheels in there. I'm pretty sure. I cannot be 100% sure, but I think that's there.
I believe.
And we're doing that thing in Vegas again this year in April. And we're doing that arcade thing again, and I'm pretty sure they've got at least one or two wheel-based racers.
Man, if you found like an 8-player one.
Oh, dude.
That would make me happy.
That would give you hairy growth.
That would give me the hairy growth.
That's right. Okay, let's move on. We got to do this now. This is our Guess Our Game segment.
Destroy it.
It's where we both take audio from an old game. We play it, and we try to see if each other are smart enough to figure it out. We do give hints, though, and I will start with mine. This is a late... Nobody looks at 07 and says, ooh, retro. Okay, I understand that.
Right.
But it's a Game Boy Advance game, and that had been around for a long time by then. Yeah. And we do count GBA here and there, so I think I can be forgiven on this. But 2007, GBA, here's your audio.
Oh, that's sweet. Choplifter 2000.
No Choplifter involved. I can promise you that. And I'll tell you. Okay, so another hint is, oh, geez, my wife showed up with things.
She must have heard about your bowl comment you made during the pre-show.
Yeah, they brought me another bowl. This one's full of food. The other hint I would give you is it's based on a very popular comic book property that is also a very popular cartoon, and they made movies. And
okay,
here's more audio. And I was surprised how much I liked it. I think the pixel art's really good, and I ended up sitting there playing for longer than I expected. That's the other hint. It's not much of a hint.
Well, I'm not hearing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay, what are you hearing?
Or maybe I'm hearing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't know, are you? What are you
hearing? Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of the year, because they did that whole reboot thing again, like in the Nickelodeon. Is the Nickelodeon version, was that 2006, something like that?
Is that the cartoon, the one with Patrick Stewart was in it or something? I liked that animated version. It was good. But I'm thinking
this
of a movie,
is,
so I don't
Teenage
know.
Mutant Ninja Turtles Advanced.
Let's take a look and see if you're correct. Technically, you're not correct with the name, but you're close enough. It's TNMT. Or TMNT. Sorry, I've got the N and the M.
There you go. Yeah, right, I was saying, what are those initials? That's kind of knockoff?
And it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up thing, but it's single-player. I may have had a multiplayer. Right. I don't know. But the single-player game is a really good-looking game.
Yeah.
And I was surprised how much I liked it. I really had fun with it.
I think I've played this one before. It definitely sounds familiar.
It was good. Dude, the GBA continues to be my favorite console ever.
It blows my mind every time that I emulate it, because when you emulate a Game Boy Advance game on a computer, it is like, wow. I was doing myself a disservice by playing it on the little Game Boy Advanced screen.
Oh, yeah. You got to blow this shit up and look at it big, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they really went overkill with a lot of these games. These games were better than the display they were being put on.
100%. They were better than anything. Yeah. I mean, the Super Nintendo versions of games, I always make sure to play the GBA ports of them, because right. they're always the best versions of those games. Weirdly enough, they have a better aspect ratio as well. I get a wider screen for it. And also, what's the other thing I like? I forgot what it was.
They run quickly, and they're real responsive.
Yeah, they also took old games like that Kirby game for the NES and remade it for the GBA.
Right.
Such a good game. An amazing library. Freaking love it. All right, let's do Brian's. What's my hints? What do I get?
You're on the, I went a little older, 20 years to be exact on the, but we're still playing with Nintendo. Okay. We're still playing with Power.
Let's play with Power.
From 1987.
All right.
It is the Nintendo.
All right, here we go. Is this ghosts and ghouls?
No, that I can hear that.
Okay, hold on. Oh, this is so familiar. It's Kid Icarus?
Oh, that's a good guess. But I'm gonna say no.
Ice Climbers.
No, not Ice Climbers.
I gotta think about it. Give me another hint. Side scroller? I assume a side scroller. They all were back then.
Sorta. Yeah, you could say side scroller. Yeah, sure.
I could.
Yeah, you could say side scroller.
I don't know.
It came on a little blue cartridge you stick in the front of the machine. Little gray cartridge, yeah.
Just
in the
front of the machine, in front of the NES?
Yeah, you would load into the front of the slot-loaded
Aren't NES. They always that? You always did that. That's just a cartridge.
You could also blow on the pins if you wanted to.
Clean it? Okay, so that's
unique. Exclusively to this NES game from 1986.
Yeah, very exclusive. Metroid, not first Metroid, maybe?
No, not a Metroid.
I give
no.
up.
No.
I have no idea.
Are you give up?
Yeah.
How about the chat room got it earlier? Look at Tyan 83 said Jaws?
Jaws what?
Jaws gets also got it as well. It is Jaws.
Is it good?
And
how is Jaws?
It is side scrolling underwater, swimming, attacking, that kind of thing. So yeah.
Are you the shark? You're the shark.
I don't believe so. You play the you're the man.
Am I what's his name? We got to get a bigger boat. That guy.
Yeah, you got to get a bigger boat. You're a scuba diver. That's all I know. I don't know if it's what character are you supposed to be playing? I haven't played it in a while.
Are you so playing?
That's a good question. I don't know the story behind it.
Who's the gruff dude that gets eaten in the end? He's the James Bond villain. Kurt, he has like single name. Karachi.
Kirby.
Quint.
Quint. There you go. Good job.
Karachi. I don't know where that came from. All right. Well Karachi. Done. You stumped me. Nice job. You did it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, if I had left in like 3 seconds from the top of that video, there's no doubt you would have got it because, I mean, they play the Jaws theme at the top. And it's just definitive, super easy.
I could see that. All right, let's get to these right here.
Welcome to the treasure room.
All right, this is a text. We got a text here to read today. This is our little feedback section, 801-471-0462. You can also leave us voicemails. I encourage it. I'd be happy to play them here. A lot of people don't know you can do that there, but you can. You can also send us these texts. Here's one from Ye Old Fan.
Oh, Ye Old. Oh, how's it going, Ye Old?
Yep. He says, good day, fellows. It is whispered in the shadows that ye shall once again be discussing racing games. So I must pen a message extolling the virtues of RC Pro-Am AM. Oh, Pro-Am, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly, this gem is not arcade in nature, but remains constrained to Ye Old NES. Even so, it would be remiss to not mention it. May you dapper chaps always be retro. Sincerely, Ye Old Fan. I like that because of how we wrote it, which is why I used it. Otherwise, yes, we did talk about that game today.
A little bit. And that's a lot of people, like you had said RC Pro-Am. Because once again, I think last week we said like top-down arcade racers. And I think what everybody heard was top-down racers. Yep. And we started getting a whole bunch of recommendations, which were fantastic. And I did not notice so many people passionate about top-down racers in general. But we got a lot of console recommendations. So we're gonna have to revisit this, but in a different angle probably. A lot of passion for mm-hmm. top-down racing.
Oh yeah. Surprise. And this game in particular, people are freaking out about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
Love it.
I want to play more of it as well. Again, that number is 801-471-0462, or you can send us an email at playretroshow@gmail.com. Our next discussion, finally. We're talking about Earthworm Jim, the entire series. But not just that. We're talking about Earthworm Jim, its creation, Dave Perry. It turns out to be kind of a ding-dong these days. Nobody likes that guy.
There's been a roller coaster ride from Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, but Earthworm Jim 1, 2, and 3D. There's also one called Earthworm Jim Menace 2. Menace to the Galaxy, kind of rapper style.
I never played that one. I'm kind of interested in that. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this one.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. I'm a little surprised that game never saw any kind of recent resurgence or remake or something.
Right.
I just thought I thought there'd be more from Earthworm Jim. And we'll talk about maybe why. But that original 16-bit era Earthworm Jim business, that's on the very next Play Retro. Very excited about that. I do want to mention some new patrons this week, and the reason that I would like to really focus on them is the following. These are people who signed up in the wake of me saying, hey, if you sign up this week between now and next week, I'll send you the Kirby wearing pants stickers. Here's one here, chat. There we go. Kirby wearing pants die cut sticker. Some art I did a while ago. These can be yours and put on your desktop, your notebook, or wherever you put your stickers.
Kirby. How is Kirby wearing pants?
I mean, it's weird that he's got pants on, I admit.
I love it.
So if you want Kirby wearing pants, I said, hey, the next handful of people that sign up are going to get it. And they did. So the following
that
people are getting
on the back of my car.
JP is getting one. Steven Nguyen. Christopher Ray and Nate Vanilla Warford.
Ooh, I like that hyphenated.
Fancy name. Nathaniel Bonilla Warford. They are all going to get these in the mail with a couple of little items. They're going to stick in there, and they'll have that just for nothing, for just being cool. And if you are already a patron, you already know the great benefits of being there. No commercials ever, pre-show content every week, and many, many more reasons. Go read all about them at patreon.com/playretro. Brian, I think that's going to do it for us.
I think we got it.
Yeah, anything else you want to say or mention? You play a lot of these games at night, right? Tell people about it.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Eastern time, usually Monday through Friday, and any night that I'm not doing the Play Retro show. Don't expect me to be at two places at once, but I do that as well on the weekend. Twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I'll be playing some Earthworm Jim this week. Come by and tell me your favorite Earthworm Jim game or just your favorite Earthworm Jim story and how he touched you. Do it.
And how Dave Perry is a jerk. All right, that'll do it for us. Thank you all very much for being here. We'll be back next week. Go play something retro. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
The Electronics Boutique.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.